Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
So we wanted to talk about social media and sharing. How much do you share and how much is too much? That, I guess, is always the question. According to the Mail and Guardian, social media oversharing can be a danger to people, their children, and to their companies. Our propensity for sharing every detail of our lives and the lives of our children is potentially putting us at risk. We wanted to understand a little bit more what this means. William Bird is the director of Media Monitoring Africa. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
Hi, good morning. I'm good. Thanks for having me on the program.
It's a great pleasure. So how dangerous is this? You know, the reality is that I guess what I keep thinking is our lives are all pretty much online in so many ways that isn't this just another area that we should just accept?
Well, I guess it is and it isn't. You know, if you're a celebrity and you make your at least some of your income from sharing your daily life experiences, sharing everything that you're doing, where you're going, what you're eating, all of those kinds of things, then it is very much part of your life. But I guess for those of us that aren't in the public eye, that are there, that are just wanting to, you know, live our lives but share things with our friends and family, then I guess you do have to think, well, where do we draw the line on what kind of content we do share? And some of it is stuff that we haven't necessarily thought about, you know, the kind of thing about the images of your children when they're doing something that's a little bit embarrassing that, you know, someday may come back to haunt them.
Likely it'll come back to haunt you.
Yeah.
When they grow up and they berate you for having posted things about them.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and there is a concern. And I guess part of it's just about saying, well, would I like this image to still be there in a few years' time? Is there potential harm or is there potential, you know, unnecessary embarrassment that can be caused? You know, it's all good fun if you're doing something and you happen to catch a moment of your friend or something, you know, falling over a small fence or something like that, as opposed to something that may be really embarrassing for that person. In their work environment, they get to the office on Monday and the next thing they go, oh, we see you had way too many tequilas over the weekend kind of thing. And that's where you then have to think, well, again, is this something that we want to share? I mean, we've
Absolutely.
Seen the Prime Minister of Finland in a whole lot of trouble because she was at a party. And again, that I don't think is problematic, but it's when you get to the things where you're going, well, are we doing this and are we sharing?
Well, it's interesting. It's interesting. I mean, you might not think it's problematic, but it actually was for her. She had to prove, she had to take a drug test to show that she wasn't on drugs. People lost confidence in her. Now, whether that was right or wrong for them to do so, and whether she had the right to go partying or not, and she certainly wasn't doing anything wrong, is a separate question. But it did impact on her image as the Prime Minister of a country. So it actually did. It did do her more harm than it did good, I imagine.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if you're in a public, you know, scenario and you've got people there with their cameras, someone's going to be filming you on those things, and you have to, in that position, make sure that you don't let down your guard, you know. And to that extent, maybe she did err, but I think in the principle of that particular thing, it wasn't, you know, something that was particularly offensive or anything like that.
I happen to agree with you.
It isn't something that, on the surface, sharing your Prime Minister being at a party isn't necessarily a problem.
Right. But the point is this, is that there are situations, and we often think about that with teenagers particularly, because as they get older and they want to go into a job market or an area of responsibility, the first thing that people do, or I always do, is look at people's social media and see not only what they want to present to us on LinkedIn, but what they presenting on Instagram and Facebook and TikTok and all the other places, because to some extent you get a better picture of the whole person, and sometimes that can actually weigh a decision in the negative.
Yeah, 100%. You know, it's the idea, and of course the thing about social media is that often, because it works on emotions, people will then go and they'll share things and they'll say things on social media that they otherwise would never normally say. They'll be nasty on social media, they may gang up, they may swear a lot more or something like that, or they may, you know, post images or politically difficult ideas for other people, things that even, you know, they might be maybe racist or offensive in other ways. And as you say, if you do that and you post those things, you've got to think about the fact that that is, you know, a little bit of a billboard of who you are, and that may well come back to bite you.
Do you think that we are doing enough to educate people around this, particularly young people?
Now, you know, the nature of being a child is that you are experimenting and learning. So you have to expect, and there's certainly moves and suggestions around people to say, well, hang on a minute, it should be a lot easier for, you know, there's this thing about the right to forget.
But yes,
if you do
course.
Something and you're a child, let's say it's particularly embarrassing, or you post a picture of yourself topless or something that's massively inappropriate, right?
Right.
You should be able to have that expunged or removed from your social media track, particularly as you get to be an adult and you realize, hang on, but this is really not something that is appropriate and what I want to do. So there is a move to that talks about that. So you can expect children to make those kinds of errors. But again, it is about saying we need to make sure that children have the ability to self-regulate. So that's quite a very different skill to the kind of way we've traditionally approached education, which is, you know, the adults give you the information and you act according to that, and they broadly regulate the world that you operate. You're not allowed to drive a car, you're not allowed to, you know, go and buy alcohol or buy cigarettes, or all of these things that adults determine. Whereas the moment you're on social media, you can do pretty much whatever you like, and that's the problem. So you've got to give children those skills and that ability to determine what they should and what they shouldn't do, and to just pause a moment and think before they do something that may well cause them a lot of concern later on.
Because it really has, to some extent, and I know we've seen a lot of this being written about, is that to some extent I feel sorry for kids today and teenagers today, because we could really do stupid things without it being recorded for the whole world to see. And somehow there's the sense when you're a teenager and you put something on social media that only your friends are going to see it. You forget for a moment that your grandmother and your aunt and your parents' friends are going to be seeing it too.
Yeah, and I mean, those are just the things that are embarrassing. The other challenge for young people these days is that, you know, bullying in a schoolyard, you had to go physically find the person, bully them, they knew who you were, etc. Now, cyberbullying, it's so much easier for a whole lot of people to gang up. That kind of crowd mentality, that's a lot easier to kind of fester and foster online than it is in real life. And so that's then poses another whole series of very real problems for young people. You just need to not look a particular way, wear the wrong thing, say the wrong thing, be in the wrong crowd, and you can soon be the object of, you know, the most vitriolic, awful kind of cyber bullying. Often by people who don't think that it's that bad. You know, they don't think, oh, I didn't realize that it would have caused you to feel suicidal even, you know.
What's terrible about this as well is, as parents, you often think that, well, if your kids are in their bedroom, that they're safe. But in fact, with cyberbullying and the internet, they could be in their bedroom, but actually very, very vulnerable at that time. And that's something that I think is worth just thinking about, is that our kids are no longer safe in our homes if there's no limit to social media.
I mean, it is about limits, but it's also about making sure that you're communicating with your child and that you've got an open line of communication.
Right.
So if and when, sadly, usually when, something bad happens, you know, they're exposed to images that are completely, or video content that's completely inappropriate, be it of a sexual or violent nature, or whatever other kind of nature, they need to be able to say, hey, you know what, I saw this and I feel really uncomfortable or whatever, or, you know, look, my friends are, you know, they're bullying me or whatever, and I'm really upset about this. That's your best line of defense, is to have open communication and make sure that the child knows that if something bad happens, they know what they can do about it. They must take screen grabs, they must go and report, and they must speak to adults, et cetera, et cetera. Because unless they have those direct means of and knowing what to do, that's when you then start to have a very real problem.
Absolutely. William Bird, Director of Media Monitoring Africa, talking to us about social media oversharing and the risks. It is 7:30. Good morning.